eight, Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Welcome back. Crazy. Like I said, welcome back to the top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. As I said at the outset of the first hour, everything is PSYOP and, winning hearts and minds. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. And do you want me in charge of this protection racket? Without me, bad things might happen. I would be ashamed to see your store, your family get all broken up. That would be a shame, you know, since I have this network of cooperators that I've recruited and nurtured. You want to recruit and nurture cooperators. The fact that the intelligence community has been outsourced predominantly, not somewhat, predominantly, which means more than 50% for a couple of decades now, really in the post 9/11 era, is something that cannot escape our attention either. There is a very collusive nature to all of this. You hear in all of it, I think of OSINT, the Open Source Intelligence Initiative, back in 2004, when there was a certain social network that was, it was Facebook. That's right. With the help of guys like Gilman Louie, DARPA types, InQtel types, Peter Thiel types. And, why would they possibly want to do that? Because, there was MySpace and there were other social networks already. What did Facebook do different? Oh, that's right. You had to authenticate with your real self, basically. And they frowned increasingly on you trying to represent yourself in any sort of way, pseudonymously, I think is how you say that. I don't know. Anyway, as with pseudonyms, use your real self. We want to know your real self so we can use this as sort of our canonical resource to patch all these other things together. And then, like Paul Ohm mentioned in his research paper that we've all forgotten, back in 2009, it was originally published, right? Broken Promises of Privacy, responding to the surprising failure of anonymization. Scientists have demonstrated they can often re-identify or de-anonymize individuals hidden in anonymized data with astonishing ease. And he gives some high-profile examples of that, some embarrassing high-profile examples. By understanding this research, we will realize we have made a mistake, labored beneath a fundamental misunderstanding, which has assured us much less privacy than we have assumed. This mistake pervades nearly every information privacy law, regulation, and debate, yet regulators and legal scholars have paid it scant attention. Why do you suppose that is? Because there's a collusive nature to all of it. Comfortable bedfellows. Everybody wants to keep his friend close and his enemy closer. Again, it's the Jesuit way, dear comrades. You got to engage in espionage because the end justifies the means, and we all might be terrorists. We're all guilty until proven innocent. That's the new American way. So you got to keep tabs on everybody. That is a toxic environment, and it goes one direction, and it's not good. Again, I feel like we should play that Jordan Peterson clip on Jocko Willink's podcast. How a totalitarian state is actually formed. And what's the point? What's the takeaway? You know, he mentions Christopher Browning's Ordinary Men. What is the direction, Chris? You're being cryptic. What do you mean it goes one direction when this happens? It goes the Lucifer effect direction. It goes Ponerology. And it goes that direction exclusively. There is a, you know, I'm no sociologist. And then, you know, while we're at it, there is the subject of, it's called administrative behavior, which, who was it? During the COVID congressional hearings, was it Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet? It was one of the people that Ron Johnson had testify. Was it Vliet? Or it was, I can't remember, but she talked about this. You know, something happens at the administrative level when we're doing the CYA thing and we're not really treating patients anymore. Nope, this is the protocol. And you can have doctors, you can have family members come in and say, could you please try this? Doctors will say, well, you know, we'll see what we can do. I don't think there's any reason for us not to. They try to run it up the chain of command, and guess what? Administrative behavior kicks in, which is actually a book written by Herbert Simon, asserts that decision-making is the heart of administration and that the vocabulary of administrative theory must be derived from the logic and psychology of human choice, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, there's a weird dissociative function to this administrative behavior. It's detachment from the human element, you know, from conscience, devoid of conscience, devoid of empathy, things like that. You know, if you look at the Wikipedia entry for administrative behavior, philosophers who influenced Simon include William James, old school bad guy, John Dewey, old school bad guy, A.J. Ayer, Alfred Jules, Freddie Ayer, old school bad guy, Rudolf Carnap, old school bad guy after old school bad guy. None of these guys are people. They're all psychopaths making psychopaths. But this is sort of the guiding influence. And this was the, you know, the progressive era revolutionary ethos. The administration of government is agnostic, they said. We can do this by the numbers. We can do it in a technocratic, cybernetic fashion, steering people in a way they don't understand. Attempts to describe administrative organizations in a way that will provide the basis for scientific analysis. The first edition was published in 1947, second, 57, third, 76, fourth, and 97. As summarized in 2001, Obituary of Simon, the book, quote, rejected the notion of an omniscient economic man, quote unquote, capable of making decisions that bring the greatest benefit possible, and substituted instead the idea of administrative man, quote unquote, who satisfies, looking for a course of action that is satisfactory. Satisficing is, of course, the portmanteau that was, you know, considered a cognitive heuristic that was introduced by Simon himself, I believe. Anyway, weird language. So back to back to this other stuff. That's a tangent. Back to the Reddit stuff. Julian Dory and the responses to some of this stuff. Let's see. Question four. From that list of questions, 1, 2, 3, 4. What kinds of skill sets and background profiles are being sought for current intelligence and security positions? So he answers question four. Now, this one I've talked, well, presumably it's him. It's his Reddit channel. Now, this one I've talked to Bustamante, Jim Lawler, Sean Ryan, Joe Teddy, and Dale Comstock about extensively on and off camera. For intel guys, they are often looking for officers who exhibit the following traits. And this is what it says. Anxiety, number one, anxiety. Two, problem solving, logic/logic. And three, bordering on sociopathic tendencies, among others. Four, confidence. Five, steadfast principles. Really? With that laundry list, steadfast principles, really? And much more, but those are some highlights. Bustamante talks a lot about, number one, anxiety in episode 97. Lawler talks a lot about, number three, bordering on sociopathic tendencies, among others, in episode 129. So, you know, recruitment. What are the agencies? What kind of skill sets and background profiles? You know, you are someone who can be drawn in. I mean, if you think about it, the answer there, anxiety, problem solving, logic, bordering on sociopathic tendencies, confidence, steadfast principles. If I didn't know better, I would say that reminds me a lot of, oh, yeah, creation of the Afghan Mujahideen, which became Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, etc. Let's see, Operation Cyclone. That's right. Let's see if that little blurb is still there today. Operation Cyclone was the code name for the United States Central Intelligence Agency program to arm and finance the Afghan Mujahideen in Afghanistan from 1979 to 1992. Prior to and during the military intervention by the USSR, indeed, Zbigniew Brzezinski says, we did not force the Soviets into Afghanistan, but created a situation that made it virtually impossible for them not to intervene, right? Essential history, you know. Brzezinski and Carter. Oops. How Jimmy Carter and I started the Mujahideen. 1998. Jeffrey St. Clair, Alexander Cockburn, leaning on the translation of William Bloom. And, you know, an essential companion of that is probably Norm Dixon's "9/18/2001" article that's still over at Green Left, How the CIA Created Osama Bin Laden. It's funny how guys like Jim DiIorio don't seem to know that either. But the rest of us do. Norm Dixon knew a week after September 11, 2001. And for that matter, we could throw in, for good measure, James Corbett's 9/11, a conspiracy theory. Because, you know, weird. tell you. Oh, okay. I got it. 9/11, a conspiracy theory. Why did... That used to be on YouTube. I guess that channel's gone now. Wonder why that happened. James Corbett knows. I think they touched on World Trade Center 7. Jim DiIorio mentioned that Secret Service had some office space in World Trade Center 7. Yeah. Anyway, Operation Cyclone, the program to arm and finance the Afghan Mujahideen in Afghanistan from 79 to 92. The Mujahideen were also supported by Britain's MI6. That's interesting. Sean Ryan said he was MI6 trained. Charlie Beckwith was MI6 trained, or no, SAS. Funny how the Brits are always around, you know, whether it's the OSS, the CIA, whatever, you know, the British security coordination is coordinating on the periphery, always there. Ghosts of guys like Halford Mackinder and Frank Kitson are always not far away. The program leaned heavily, this is what I'm getting at. The program leaned heavily toward supporting militant Islamic groups, including groups with jihadist ties that were favored by the regime in neighboring Pakistan rather than other less ideological Afghan resistance groups that had been fighting the Soviet-oriented Democratic Republic of Afghanistan. Rather than, so, you know, the program leaned heavily towards supporting militant groups rather than other less ideological Afghan resistance groups. Are you following me on this? Because if you look at that laundry list of traits, it seems to coincide with, you know, who was recruited through Operation Cyclone by the CIA and friends. And this is why I say what we're seeing in America is the recruitment of the new Mujahideen here. And it's so interesting because, you know, on the one hand, you have the folks who will say we're being invaded. And, you know, there's reason for concern. And on the other hand, you'll have the people say, these people are radical that are, you know, trying to posture up for an invasion. They're crazy. And both perspectives are right, but then I guess that's the technique of infamy at work, isn't it? Speaking of everything is PSYOP. You got to have crazy people who can't separate the emotional from the things that are going on, that are radical, that want to be on that wall, so to speak, and steadfast principle. They're fundamentalists. That's what, you know, the guys reading the stuff coming across, you know, from the wellspring of Saudi Arabia, the Wahhabi, Salafi stuff. Again, speaking of companions, there's the Frontline PBS piece, the awkward, what is it, Inside the Awkward U.S.-Saudi Alliance Against ISIS, except maybe not so much. It was 8 videos, now it's down to 5. The playlist, the Saudi Arabia Frontline PBS playlist, that is. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Food's primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less value its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar, has tanked. It's worth nothing. And the gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
My friend. Feel is their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, I wanna spread the news that if it feels it's good getting used, oh, you just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
Welcome back.
Talk to me.
You know, another essential companion to this discussion is, you know, all these guys, all these, you know, I don't know how you characterize this, but, you know, the recruitment channel / First Earth Battalion contingent. They all seem to agree that, you know, gosh, if we could just finish the job once in a while, from Vietnam to Iraq, Afghanistan, everywhere, if we could just finish the job. It's almost like there's, you know, the engineering of chaos so that you have the enemy that you can. Yeah, it's almost like Machiavelli chapter 20 of The Prince at work, you know, in effect. Strange. But an essential companion to this, you know, so what do you do about it? Well, I am reminded of Robin Cook's article. July 8, 2005, the day after the London 7/7 bombings. And less than a month later, Robin Cook falls over dead of a heart attack. You can't challenge the military establishment and expect that you will live long. Just ask John Barnett. Maybe we'll get into that a little bit. So in the Guardian article, the struggle against terrorism cannot be won by military means, you know, but don't tell the contractors that, because my goodness, you know, this is job security. You want him on that wall, you need him on that wall, and you need all of our hardware. You know, you need him to have all of our hardware because, you know, those guys over there. And this is something that these guys hint at. Do you realize that, you know, for example, what was it? I think it was Conflict Armament Research did their piece back in 2014. I think it was 2014, and they said that, you know, upwards of 75% of the weapons, the small arms that were recaptured after the, you know, after they took these ISIS fortified positions, 75% of the arms they seized were stamped property of the United States government. How is that happening? Remember those CNN posts and things of the fancy Toyota trucks with the ISIS flags in the back of them and stuff, you know? How is this happening? Robin Cook knew what to do about this. So in his article, "The Struggle Against Terrorism Cannot Be Won by Military Means," he wrote, "Osama bin Laden is no more a true representative of Islam than General Mladic, who commanded the Serbian forces, could be held up as an example of Christianity." This is brilliant. Look into the nuance of what he's talking about there. After all, it is written in the Quran that we are made into different peoples, not that we might despise each other, but that we might understand each other. You know, Jesus is a prophet, not a bad guy, you know. But you have a particular brand of Islam, a very small group, the counter gang that others get associated with, that you don't hear about. You don't hear about Wahhabism and Salafism. You don't hear about it. Why is that? Why do you get such a blunted portrayal? Rhetorically, I ask. So Robin Cook continued, "Bin Laden was, though, a product of a monumental miscalculation by Western security agencies." Yeah. "Throughout the 80s, he was armed by the CIA and funded by the Saudis to wage jihad against the Russian occupation of Afghanistan. Al-Qaeda, literally the database, was originally the computer file of the thousands of Mujahideen who were recruited and trained with help from the CIA to defeat the Russians. Inexplicably and with disastrous consequences, it never appears to have occurred to Washington that once Russia was out of the way, bin Laden's organization would turn its attention to the West." Yeah. This is subtle. So what's the answer? What's the answer to all this madness? I'll give you Robin Cook's answer when we come back. Stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
So what's the answer to all this madness? So one thing we don't hear. Robin Cook knew it. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. You don't have to be smarter than a fifth grader to know. The way Robin Cook put it, he wrote, "The danger now is that the West's current response to the terrorist threat compounds that original error so long." Let me stop. "The danger now is that the West's current response to the terrorist threat compounds that original error." You know, bin Laden turning his attention to the West, as Robin Cook put it. And what do you know? We created our own enemy precisely in Machiavellian fashion. Oh, my goodness, who could have foreseen that? So long as the struggle against terrorism is conceived as a war that can be won by military means, it is doomed to fail, Cook wrote. The more the West emphasizes confrontation, the more it silences moderate voices in the Muslim world who want to speak up for cooperation. This is a fact that guys like Zudi Jasser have talked about at high-profile events and even before Congress. I will, you know, I would add parenthetically. Anyway, continuing, Robin Cook wrote, success will only come from isolating the terrorists and denying them support, funds, and recruits, which means focusing more on our common ground with the Muslim world than on what divides us. But that doesn't work for layers of reasons. You know, that would put the defense contractors out of business. John Barnett is gone. He won't, you know, the investigation goes on, but his crucial testimony will not be heard. And what message does it send to others who might say, you know, who might otherwise say, gosh, you know, I was noticing the same things? Success will only come from isolating the terrorists and denying them support, funds, and recruits, which means focusing more on our common ground with the Muslim world than on what divides us. And, you know, it's, I think, is a short trip mentally to see spooky. I mean, look at what happened to John Barnett. Right out in plain sight. It's mainstream news. You know, his friend says, no, he wasn't suicidal. He said, you know, something happens to me. Just remember, I didn't commit suicide. And his attorney in the case says he spoke to him the night before. So, you know, when you have people who are trained to do very bad things and, you know, like Julian Dory said, gosh, a lot of money can go a long way. Sometimes, you know, you put a lot of money in somebody's hands. It's funny what happens. Can make those opinions. Sometimes, you know, those strong opinions against espionage, you know, maybe that big check to talent in the private sector can sometimes have a way of getting rid of their strong opinions against espionage work, or maybe wet work or whatever, you know. Interesting stuff. But, you know, you don't hear about Robin Cook or success only coming from isolating the terrorists, denying them support, funds, and recruits. You know, the terrorists that we created, Al-Qaeda, literally the database, originally the computer file of the thousands of Mujahideen who were recruited and trained with help from the CIA, and everyone, British MI6, Pakistani ISI, Saudis, everybody was involved. And you know what that does? That means that since you're all guilty, we're all in this together. No one better say anything or we all go down. You'll go down just as sure as everyone else. It's, you know, if you didn't know better, this is exactly what was, you know, this is the worst elements of the things you read about the Illuminati and the Carbonari and all this kind of stuff. It's the worst of all of it. And it's happening in plain sight. Not only that, but it's been institutionalized. Now it's legit because it has a badge on it that, you know, the seal of public approval. And we're all conscripted to this devil's errand because, you know, it has the stamp of the seal of approval of the public trust, ostensibly, and funding. So, you know, effort justification bias. We are all being marched down the road of Ponerology and the Lucifer Effect. The end justifies the means. Let's see. Robert Kennedy Jr. had some interesting things to say. A couple of things first, though. Back to the Halliburton thing, the prayer, and then maybe we'll get a clip or two. Maybe just one, maybe two, probably just one. Back to the Halliburton thing and Dick Cheney. This is on Wikipedia. Halliburton under the section, you know, history under that, 1990s, following the end of opera. So how did guys like Eric Prince know what was coming? You know, because his family was a connected bunch. How did he know, though? Following the end of Operation Desert Storm in February 1991, Pentagon, led by then Defense Secretary Dick Cheney, paid Halliburton's subsidiary, Brown & Root Services, over $8.5 million to study the use. That was when $8.5 million was something. To study the use of private military forces with American soldiers in combat zones. Halliburton crews also helped bring 725 burning oil wells under control in Kuwait. In 1995, Cheney replaced Thomas H. Cruikshank as chairman and CEO of Halliburton. Cruikshank had served since 1989. So wait a minute. It's C. Wright Mills' revolving power elite door. Cheney commissions the study that Halliburton essentially, you know, should Halliburton be escorting. You know, should we be using private military forces in side by side with American soldiers in combat zones? Of course, Halliburton says yes, because what does that mean? Suckling more on the government teat, of course, indefinitely. Kind of like the Green Berets over in, where is it? Off the coast of China these days? Anyway, permanently, I mean, now. Apparently, this is the latest development. In the early 1990s, Halliburton was found to be in violation of federal trade barriers in Iraq and Libya, but, you know, don't worry about that. Having sold these countries' dual-use oil drilling equipment, and through its former subsidiary, Halliburton Logging Services, sending 6 pulse neutron generators to Libya. Why would you do that? They have weapons of mass destruction. Where did they get them? Well, probably Halliburton, but you know what? They have weapons of mass destruction. Okay, maybe they don't. After having pleaded guilty, the company was fined $1.2 million with another $2.6 million in penalties. Well, when you're making billions, what's a couple million among friends, you know? During the Balkans conflict in the 1990s, Kellogg, Brown, and Root, KBR, supported U.S. peacekeeping forces in Bosnia and Herzegovina, Croatia, and Hungary with food, laundry, transportation, and other life cycle management services. Anyway, and then there's, you know, Zapata. You read down a little further, you know, Halliburton merged with Dresser. I've read from Darwin Payne's book about Dresser, where he's talking about 4 Skull and Bonesmen in the same room, but nobody talks about that organization. Weird that Darwin Payne would write about it. Initiative and Energy. Darwin Payne on Dresser Industries. Prescott Bush. Bush was the director of Dresser, which is now part of Halliburton. His son, former President George H.W. Bush, worked for Dresser in several positions from 48 to 51 before he founded Zapata Corporation. This is all fascinating history. Just those few paragraphs right there is enough to send people down the rabbit hole, and shocking what you will discover. You know, the ties to, you know, organized crime at the highest levels. What Smedley Butler said, war is a racket, smash the racket. How do you stop it? Dale Comstock apparently didn't finish the book. You got to read that last chapter, Dale. The way you smash the racket is you take the profit out of it. But that'll never happen, right? Just ask John Barnett. Before we go any further, it's almost the end of the broadcast. I should do this at the outset every broadcast, but I did not. So speaking of all of this hijinks and shenanigans, though it's easy to focus on flesh and blood, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And, you know, I mean, from the beginning, bad ideas have been put into man's head. And it's our choice, you might say, whether or not we act upon those. But, you know, since we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the worldly governors, the princes of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, which are in the high places, probably ought to offer prayer before we close out. So, without further ado, the prayer for today's broadcast. Primarily drawing from the Lord's Prayer and the full armor of God, Matthew 6 and Ephesians 6, respectively. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, please help us to put on the full armor of God. Help us to gird our loins about with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Help us to take up the shield of faith, put on the helmet of salvation, take up the sword of the Spirit, and pray at all times in the Spirit. Amen. That would be enough, but for good measure, I pray that no weapon formed against the righteous shall prosper, that all who walk in error would come to know the truth in Christ. Please reveal our hypocrisy and double-mindedness. I pray that unrepentant evildoers be brought swiftly to justice, wickedness be brought swiftly to an end, righteousness be restored in the land, poisonous trees and offshoots like brands and agencies, etc., conceived in malice, would collapse under the weight of their own evil. In Jesus' name, amen. Some people think that prayer is not effective, but I'm of the opinion, the strong conviction, that Brother Hutchings was right. I call him the Winnie the Pooh mole, but, you know, he used to open his broadcast by saying he borrowed it, but, you know, God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Absolutely. I would submit that there's nothing more powerful on earth that we can do than prayer. And for those who doubt that, maybe try it. Maybe cry out to the Lord God Almighty and appeal to the God of heaven through, you know, our Father in heaven, through his Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and see what happens. Jesus said, it's good that I go. I will send the Helper. So that's the prayer. Let's see. Or if we can do, one more clip, Bobby Kennedy Jr., before we go out, on the reality of what happened, or you know, it's kind of a model. What's happening in Ukraine? I think this is one of the clips. There are a couple of clips, but this is one. I wonder if we could play this. Zelensky sold Ukraine. U.S. corporate Kennedy's nephew adds to Russia explosive claim. I think this is the one. Is this it? No, this isn't it. No, that's not it. Yeah, maybe it is. Yeah, I think that's it. Can we skip the break and play that clip, please?
Corruption, scandal, big business, or reform? War hit Ukraine up for sale?
This is a war that should have never happened. It's a war the Russians tried repeatedly to settle on terms that were very, very beneficial to Ukraine and us. The major thing they wanted was for us to keep NATO out of the Ukraine.
Has Kyiv sold Ukraine to BlackRock? Big companies have their eyes set on Ukraine?
The big military contractors want to add new countries to NATO all the time. Why? Because then that country has to conform its military purchases to NATO weapon specifications, which means certain companies, Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, General Dynamics, Boeing, and Lockheed, get a trapped market.
Nephew of 35th U.S. President John F. Kennedy makes explosive claims. Is this U.S. company trying to control Ukraine? U.S. and corporates trying to cash in on a disaster?
March of 2022, we committed $113 billion. Just to give you an example, we could have built a home for almost every homeless person in this country. We then committed another $24 billion since then, 2 months ago, and now President Biden's asking for another $60 billion. But the big, big expenses are going to come after the war.
Ukraine is already opening up for big investment, and hand-rubbing has been happening over a potential business bonanza. War-hit Ukraine might not look like a good financial investment with no end in sight. Kyiv engaged BlackRock and JP Morgan in 2023 to help set up a fund to raise public capital that could attract private investment for Ukraine's reconstruction. But has the Russia-Ukraine war created a massive profit opportunity for leading U.S. companies? Has Kyiv fallen into the hands of BlackRock?
When we have to rebuild all the things that we destroyed. Mitch McConnell was asked, can we really afford to spend $113 billion to Ukraine? He said, don't worry. It's not really going to Ukraine.
It's going to American defense manufacturers.
So he just admitted it's a money laundering scheme. And who do you think owns every one of those companies? BlackRock.
In 2022, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and BlackRock CEO Larry Fink agreed to work together on investments aimed at rebuilding the war-torn country after Russia's invasion. As per experts, when Vladimir Putin signaled Ukraine invasion, Kyiv went into an economic isolation. However, collaboration of Zelensky's government with BlackRock began in September 2022. Seeing this as an opportunity amid the tragedy, 500 global businesses from 42 countries signed the Ukraine Business Compact to help realize its huge potential. Western governments and corporate leaders have made no secret of their enthusiasm to alter Ukraine's political economy. So the whole Ukraine goes for sale with massive profit opportunities being created by the war?
Yeah, of course it's not. So why do they call it a loan? Because if they call it a loan, they can impose loan conditions. And what are the loan conditions that we impose on? Number one, an extreme austerity program, so that if you're poor in Ukraine, you're going to be poor forever. Number two, most important, Ukraine has to put all of its government-owned assets up for sale to multinational corporations, including all of its agricultural land, the biggest single asset in Europe, in Ukraine. There's been 1,000 years of war fought over that land. It's the richest farmland in the world. It's the breadbasket of Europe. 500,000 kids, almost, Ukrainian kids, have died to keep that land as part of Ukraine. They almost certainly didn't know about this loan condition.
Kennedy has been a frequent critic of America's involvement in supporting Ukraine from Russia's invasion, which he has repeatedly referred to as a proxy war. The agreement between BlackRock and Ukraine emerged days after Zelensky traveled to Washington for a meeting with President Biden. Ukraine's economic toll remains unclear after Russian President Vladimir Putin sent in his forces in February. Kennedy took direct aim at U.S. foreign policy, calling the war in Ukraine a creation of a relentless mentality of foreign domination. As per many geopolitical and economic experts, This is a familiar story when it comes to crisis-riven nations that come to rely on the financial aid of Western governments and institutions with some unsavory strings attached.
This has all of the ingredients that no one knows about. This has, you know, the color revolution stuff. It has the stuff that you heard Kennedy mention. It has, you know, the profit motive. It has the Machiavellian, you know, manufacture your enemy, Mackinder's Heartland theory. It's all in there. And yet, how many people really understand this? There's another clip that I wanted to play, and I was long-winded, so we won't get to it, but Bobby Kennedy Jr. on Howie Mandel's podcast, I guess, Howie Mandel Does Stuff. And it's titled The Real Reason Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Wants to Be President. And you can listen to that, and in about 5 minutes he unpacks some of the specifics of the things that were mentioned in the clip that we just played. And, you know, some people are saying, wow, I can't believe he's saying this stuff. He's going to end up, you know, he's going to get the Kennedy treatment if he's not careful. But
it can happen.
What's that? Did you say it could happen? Oh, okay. Yeah. So this is the strange world we live in. Up is down, down is up. We've gone through the looking glass and down the rabbit hole, dear Alice. And so, wild stuff, you know. Like I said, the theme of today's broadcast is everything is PSYOP, and the irony is it's all around us and no one sees it. Most people have no idea. You do. Those of us who gather here as a sort of, you know, to commiserate, it's cathartic. It's the anti-gaslighting moment. And then we go out and watch people fight over, you know, the technique of infamy, the sound bites, the PSYOP talking points. It's fascinating to watch happening in real time, right before our very eyes, things that have been legitimized that shock the conscience, but we all are encouraged to endorse. And if you're not endorsing this, then my goodness, you're not a good patriotic American. It's ridiculous. Anyway, that'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. Even if it was a bit of a rant, I hope it was perhaps even edifying. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.